A reading from Matthew. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him.
Our lectionary gospel for today is a troubling passage for me. There was a movie that I went to see. It was very controversial, and it came along about 10 years into my ministry, and I preached from it on a Sunday that this passage was the lectionary passage back in 1989. The movie was The Last Temptation of Christ. How many have seen that movie? Probably not too many of you. It was so controversial. It was a movie that was from a book written by Nikos Kazantzakis, you know, the guy who wrote Zorba the Greek. And it was about Jesus' last minutes on the cross. What happened was Jesus was on the cross dying, and an angel or purported angel came to him and said, "You have done your job well. God does not want you to die. Come down with me." And in the movie, Jesus came down. And for the next part of the movie, Jesus lived a full life. He married. He had kids. He grew old. And towards the end of the movie, he came to his senses and realized what he had done. He said he had to finish what he had started. And the end of the movie, he had gone back and had taken his place on the cross. You see, in the movie, the last temptation of Christ was a temptation to live just a normal, long life. After his baptism by John the Baptist, Jesus is led into the wilderness by the Spirit for his purpose, being tempted by the devil. In Christianity, the devil has been part and parcel of the theological landscape since the beginning. In traditional Christian theology, the devil was a fallen angel who had rebelled against God. In some instances, the devil is noted as the serpent in the Garden of Eden. In one other story, the devil is the accuser of Job. Do you remember that? And the devil is the tempter in the Gospels in today's passage. The devil is the great dragon in the book of the Revelation to John, the seven-headed, or is it ten-headed and seven? Anyway, it's a big dragon with lots of heads. And more recently, the devil went down to Georgia looking for some souls to steal. Do you see what I mean? It's the notion of a satanic figure is woven in and out of our literature, our popular movies, in comic books. Is the devil a spiritual reality in creation at war with his creator? Or is the devil a convenient creation of humanity to explain the evil in the world? I will tell you, I don't know. I do know that the biblical accounts of the devil are not necessarily consistent, but they are there. And another thing we cannot deny is that there is evil in the world. What we must admit is that reality. And we must also admit that humanity's capacity for evil sometimes overwhelms our capacity for good. You know that's true. There are human beings right now in America shouting, "Sieg Heil." Some were on the streets of Charleston with swastikas tattooed on their forearms. That is a testament to evil. Slavery was and is a testament to evil lurking in human hearts. And slavery's child, racial prejudice, is still an evil today that seeks to divide humanity. Let's take a look at the biblical temptations and that were placed before Jesus. Making bread doesn't sound so bad, does it? Make some bread. You're hungry. You've been without food for a long time. What possible harm could that do? Really? Jump off a building. Listen, you are God's beloved. Surely you know that God is not going to let you be dashed on the rocks. Prove it. Prove that you know how much God loves you, the devil might have said. Put God to the test. The last one, though, I think we can agree on. It might not be so bad to make some bread. It might not be so bad to jump off a building hoping for angels to come. But to bow down and worship Satan if you're given all of the riches of the world, that crosses the line. Did you notice in those three offenses that they grew in their severity? Have you ever noticed that how sin in our lives can begin in a very harmless way and inch by inch and step by step? In our own lives, the propensity for evil is like that. Our offenses can grow from one small thing into a lifestyle. Can it not? But here we are. Lent, the season of Lent, is a time for each of us to search our own hearts. Okay, question. I'm asking this of myself, and you're welcome to listen in. What is there within me that keeps me from growing closer to God? Is that not the very definition of sin? You know, sin is not necessarily the, you know, last week I said, I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with the girls who do. No, sin by its very definition is separation from God. The acts that we take, do they draw us closer to God or do they separate us farther? Is it pride or vengeful anger or avarice or sloth? I've been engaging in sloth recently. I'm not proud of it. For you, what is your main stumbling block? And don't say, I haven't the foggiest notion, because you do. You know what it is in your own life that keeps you from a fuller fellowship with God or a fuller fellowship with your sisters and brothers. You know what it is. Then ask for God's help. This questioning can become even more meaningful during these 40 days when we contemplate the immensity of God's love for us. Your questioning might be something like, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Ask for God's help during this period. And there is no doubt in my mind that you will be granted insight. And once you do that, determine that you're going to do something about it. In the 12-step program, is anybody in here, you know, does anybody know Bill Wilson? If you ever asked, are you a friend of Bill Wilson, that means are you a part of a 12-step program or have you been in a 12-step program? If you find yourself asking for God's help and that answer comes to you, what's the next step? Make amends. That would be step 9 in the 12 steps. My working through the 12 steps back there 30 years ago, and I admit my last meeting was to get my 10-year chip, and that was 21 years ago. But I had trouble. I had trouble with all of the steps except making amends. I knew whom I had harmed and I knew what to do about it. Is there someone in your life right now that you owe an amend to? I challenge you this day. Don't wait till tomorrow. This day, begin to make that amend. And then finally, we need to, as a church, as a community, as joint fellowships with others, we need to join with others to combat evil and bring forth good. It's as simple as that. Where could we do that? Right here. We do that every week when we minister to others. I'm hoping in this next year we will come to new ways of being able to, and I don't mean the sort of nasty evil. I mean the evil of neglect. We can do that right here. I want us to become the angels unaware who are helping others in their own battles. Amen.